This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Allahumma 'allimna ma yanfa'una wanfa'na bima 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma. Ya rabbal 'alamin, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ahu wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinabah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before I spend the next half an hour bad-mouthing social media, make sure you follow me on all my social media accounts. I'm just joking. All right, bismillah. You know, I say that as a joke, but it really speaks to the situation that we are in today. And the situation that we're in today is that a lot of times we can see the bad effects of social media, right? We can feel it in our lives. And a lot of young people talk about very openly how social media has been affecting their mental health and their mental well-being, even their emotional well-being. Yet, it's hard and very difficult for us to detach ourselves from social media. Even if someone said, you know, I'm gonna be really hardcore and I'm not gonna use any social media. And then you get a FaceTime from your grandmother. And it's like, oh, I gotta get on my phone, I gotta FaceTime her, and then you're back on the screen. And that screen is a path to everything else. We are connected now due to social media. We all live through the quarantine period. May Allah protect us from entering another quarantine. Allahumma ameen. But we all live through that period, and a lot of us made it through that period because of the internet, because of social media. Because we were able to, even though we weren't physically able to be with somebody, we were at least able to connect with them through social media. I myself, my job, what I do for a living, would not have been possible during social media, during the quarantine, if it wasn't for social media. I teach for a living. I give classes and lectures for a living. So if someone comes up and says, you know what, all social media haram because it's a waste of time, all these problems, so on and so forth, cut it out of your life. I'm probably going to be the guys and be like, yeah, that's cool, but wait up, can they still take classes online? Right? And I know my kids, I have two kids. My older kid is in school. He just started school not too long ago. He actually started school during quarantine. He attended kindergarten online. It blew my mind that that is his first experience of school, was sitting in front of a screen. But alhamdulillah, he was able to do that because we do have social media, we have the internet. And so there is a lot of good that comes from the internet, and that's why I don't like just painting social media with a wide brush and saying it's all bad and it's all wrong. And that is not to underemphasize, subhanAllah, the dangers of social media and how it is affecting us. And in reality, and I say this quite a bit, we don't even truly know the true effects of social media yet. We're only like 10, 15, 20 years into social media. We don't know the long-term effects of social media. We don't know how kids are doing that were born in an age of social media. Like my son, when he's older, he's my test study, right? He's the guy. I'm like, okay, how did this homie turn out? If he was bad, like I know here's the problems with social media, it kind of messed him up. May Allah protect him and all of our children. But a lot of us, you know, we're still in that phase. We don't really know what's gonna happen when it comes to the long-term effects of social media. But as human beings, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Allah says, have the taqwa of Allah to the best of your ability, meaning try your best. And from trying our best means that we try to control the things that we do have control over. And that is why I'm not here to tell you delete all of your social media, get rid of the internet, like just don't do that. Because I don't think that for the vast majority of people, myself included, I don't think that's a reality. But there are certain things that we do have control over. How much time we spend online doing what? And I think that is the big question, because time spent online is not necessarily bad. And sometimes, as I said earlier, we need to spend a certain amount of time online because of our lives, right? Some people are getting educated online. Some people are getting their degrees online. Some people are teaching online. And there's so much of our lives that just have to be online. But what I want to talk about today is the entertainment side of being online. Because when it comes to our time, subhanAllah, our time is indeed limited. Time is such an important factor for us as human beings, first and foremost. but specifically for believers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many places swears by time or a period of time. And when Allah swears by something, that thing is very, very significant. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, by the night and how it covers, meaning that portion, that time period, is something significant. It's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're supposed to look at that and think, Allah is swearing by this. What is He swearing about? This must be very, very important. وَالضُّحَى, Allah says, by the morning brightness, or when the morning sun is coming up. That's a sign for us, it's an indication. A believer looks at that and they take heed. And subhanAllah, I want to share a story about my, you know, I do talk a lot about my son. I hope he never listens to these lectures later on. He's going to be really mad. But the other day, subhanAllah, I was driving and it was sunset. The sun was setting and don't tell anybody, but I recently bought my son a Switch, right? He was rewarded for some stuff he did, so I got him a Switch, right? And he was in the car playing the Switch, and generally I don't allow like devices in the car, because I'm like, you need to just be in the car. Like, if I'm driving, I can't be on a device, like, you can't be on a device. Just talk to me. And so he was on his Switch, and I was it was a long drive, and that's why I allowed him to be on it. And I said, Laith, his name is Laith. I said, Laith, check that out. He goes, what? I said, look, the sunset, isn't that beautiful? And he goes, yeah, but it's there every day, right? And I'm like, wait, what? It's there every day, but how often do we look up? And he's like, yeah, it's there, it's fine. And that to me said a lot to me, because I'm like, this is the nature of human beings. We take these things for granted. We take time for granted, because we're living and we're existing in time. We just take it for granted. And this is why, as a reminder, Allah swears by time. Wal asr, by time. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Allah swears by time that mankind, human beings, all of us, we're at a loss. One of the meanings of this is that we're at a loss when it comes to the time that we have. Time is constantly ticking. Time is going on. It does not stop. We can stop, take a break, and do whatever, but time keeps on going. There is no stopping time. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, certainly mankind is at a loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who believe. Now, does that mean that for believers, time stops? No. Time doesn't stop for anyone. But believers take advantage of their time. So even though time keeps on moving, they're making sure they get the most out of their time. This is one of the reasons Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and there you go. What do they do with that time? What do the believers do with that time? They do good deeds. They do good actions. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they enjoin the truth, goodness upon one another. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they encourage one another with patience. Because all of this comes along with time. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over and over again in the Quran, we find this to be a big deal as a reminder for us, because the nature, once again, the nature of human beings is that we forget. When things are really obvious to us, we forget. We forget sometimes that we're breathing air, yet without air we would die. We could not survive. We forget the blessings that are literally on and inside of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, that there are signs, there are indications in yourself. Don't you see? Don't you pay attention? If we just took a moment to look at our own bodies, look at your own hand, and think about the blessings that are contained in a single hand, we would be sitting there in awe of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And so Allah reminds us of this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that there are two blessings that many people miss out on. Health, siha, wal faragh. Health and available time. I remember, subhanallah, a recent conversation that I had with someone about taking on an imam position. For those of you who don't know, I'm not an imam. I really don't have a desire to be an imam for various reasons, but I often get asked if I'd be interested in being an imam. communities will approach me and say, we're looking for an imam. Do you want to be an imam? And amongst the many reasons that I usually give to a person or like a masjid board or whatever that asks me that question is the following. I say, look, the way I look at my life is that Allah has given me a certain amount of time to be on earth. How much that time is, I don't know, but I know it's limited. And from that time, there is haqq, there is a right for my wife and for my kids and for myself, for my deen, for my spirituality. And then there is the right of the people upon me. Meaning if I have gone and sought some type of Islamic knowledge, then I believe, yes, it is something that I owe the people to convey that which I have learned. And so for me, that is how I look at my time. And so if I have a limited amount of time, I want to make sure that the time I have available to give to the people is not gone to waste. So I said, with all due respect, but sitting in a meeting with board members and having arguments and discussions and on and on and on, the masjid politics and this and that and whatever, not to say that's not important, somebody needs to do that, but to me, that's not the best use of my time. So I look at my life as, what can I do that will allow me to use the limited time, like I have a limited time to get to Jannah, limited time to attain Jannah. That's it, certain amount of time. What can I do that will be the best for me? What will give me the best chances to get to Jannah? And I have to live my life that way, because if I don't, I can get caught up in worldly, just life. And unfortunately, a lot of us, that is how we live our lives. Just one day to another day, and we get stuck into a routine. We have this going on and that going on and so on and so on and so forth. And we forget that this life will come to an end. And at the end of that, we will be questioned about the time that we spent, what we did with our lives. In the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said that a servant will remain standing on the day of judgment or the day of resurrection until they're asked about four things. Number one, their life and how they spent it. So the moments that we have in this life, we are going to be questioned about. This time that you had, what did you do with it? How was it beneficial to you? How was it beneficial to the people around you? What advantage did you take of this time? Number two, which wallahi hurts, Prophet ﷺ said, their youth and how they used it up. And I'll tell you, someone who I feel like I'm transitioning out of my youth, even though I'm young at heart, inshallah. But as someone who's transitioning out of my youth, this hadith speaks to me. Because I think back and I look at the time that I had as a young person, the time that I had where I had less responsibilities, and I look back and that is, I feel like it has been used up. There are things that I was able to do before that I know I simply cannot do now. A brother came to me once and he said, give me some business advice. He's like, you have your own clothing line and this and that, whatever. So, I want to start my business, give me some advice. And one of the advices I gave him, I said, look, before you get married, do whatever you can do for your business. Because if you're single, you can handle your situation. You could be broke. You can invest all your money into your business. You can be living on the street. Because it's just you. You got to take care of yourself. That's it. But once you get married, you have a family, and you're responsible for that family, and your responsibilities go up. So whatever you got to do, do it now. And this is what I tell a lot of young people as well. I know a lot of times we have goals that we set for later on in our lives. One day, I will do this. One day, I will do that. When I do this, I will do that. Once I get married, I will do this. And the reality is that if you have time now, do it now, because tomorrow is not guaranteed. And you don't know what the future holds. You don't know that if you have an opportunity now, will you have that opportunity later or not? And this is why I'm a big proponent for working really hard to find your calling and then work hard at it. Find something that speaks to you. Find something that means something to you, something that you have a passion for. And dedicate yourself towards that. And if you haven't found it yet, spent the effort in looking for what excites you, what is something that you can be passionate about. Because if we're not doing that, we live in a time where there are plenty of ways to waste time. SubhanAllah, I was having a conversation with my wife, and we were talking about, you know, me and my wife, we have different personalities. She's more extroverted, I'm more introverted. And when the quarantine started, I'm like, this is pretty cool for me, right? Staying at home, don't need to go out, talk to people, socialize. And my wife was not having it. Like, she was not having a good time. I was having a great time. And I said, honestly, if someone said to me today that you can live the rest of your life and not have to go out, you could be home and you could just like eat pizza and watch Netflix and go to Jannah, I'd be like, that would be Jannah for me on earth, right? That would be amazing. I would love to do that, right? That would be amazing. But that's not reality. And I hope maybe my Jannah will look like that. I don't know. Allahu alam, right? But it's easy to get caught up in that. It's easy to just let the hours go and let time pass us by. Especially because there's so much that is constantly pulling at us. So many people, so many organizations, so many apps that just want our eyeballs stuck on what we're looking at. And that's why a lot of these apps that we use, SubhanAllah, you know, people think I'm like just against TikTok or whatever. TikTok is not the problem. The problem is using TikTok as a form of entertainment and then getting caught up and stuck in TikTok. The way the algorithm is set up on TikTok is that no matter what you're looking at, eventually you're gonna end up in stuff that is not good for you. Not only is it a waste of time, honestly, for a lot of people, waste of time would be a good thing. Because what they're doing is not a waste of time, it's actually time being spent in haram. Time being spent away that in things that are bringing us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time being spent in things that are taking us away from fulfilling our potential as human beings. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us as human beings. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ We have honored the children of Adam. And sometimes I think, subhanAllah, we are an honored species, yet we spend hours and hours and hours of our day just scrolling through the lives of other people. Not even doing anything that benefits us, just as a form of entertainment. And so our definition of entertainment has drastically changed. What we consider to be entertainment, you know, this is one problem. When we think about entertainment, we say, if I were to say to someone, what do you do for entertainment? What do you do for fun? They may say, you know, I play basketball, or I do this, or I do that, or whatever. Very few people will answer that question by saying, I get on my phone and I scroll for entertainment. But in reality, that is entertainment. That is how we're entertaining ourselves today. And so when it comes to looking at our time and how we divide our time and what we do with our time, I'm not saying we should not be entertained. It is honestly part of human nature. We need to be entertained. If we were always working, always worshiping, always doing work, we wouldn't be happy. Part of the nafs, the way Allah created us, is that we have social needs. We have the need to have fun. I actually taught a whole class on this issue, fiqh of chilling, right? But we need to make time for fun as well. But we have to define that time. And we have to take an account of ourselves and say, how much time am I really spending on this entertainment? And so when we look at our online lives, we got to differentiate and say, look, this is time that I spent, I don't know, maybe listening to a lecture. And not passively listening to a lecture, not it's on and I'm just watching it and I'm doing like 10 other things, right? We can't listen to lectures online the way we watch Netflix. When I'm watching Netflix, I got Netflix on, I got my phone on, I got my friend talking to me. It's like multitasking Netflix. It's just playing in the background, right? It's just something happening. There's a problem when we're listening to Islamic knowledge with the intention to get close to Allah, with the intention to better ourselves. This is an investment of time. Once again, the time that we have very, very little of. Time that is not guaranteed to us. This is an investment. Make sure that investment counts. I knew a brother in college, and subhanAllah, me and him are about the same age. When we were in college, we both had a long commute to college, to our, to the university we were going to. I chose Islamic lectures. I was like, I'm going to listen to Islamic lectures. I'm going to increase my knowledge in that way. And I'm actually very grateful for that. Alhamdulillah, I learned a lot in that time. I was just listening and listening and listening, and I learned a lot. Alhamdulillah. A friend of mine, he said, I'm going to listen to the Quran, but I'm not going to just listen to the Quran. He said, I'm going to try and memorize what I listen to in the Quran. And I can tell you, subhanAllah, that he became a hafiz. He memorized the Quran in the car. In the car. He went to college for 4 years. Within those 4 years, every morning, every evening, he's had a long commute. Of course, he would review outside of the Quran, outside of the car as well. But in the car, he would memorize the Quran. And you think about that. You think about that. That this is an opportunity that he had, and he took advantage of this limited time that we have. So if you're doing something, if you're actually investing the time in something, do it properly. This is one of the issues I have with the way Islamic studies and lectures and all this kind of stuff has moved online. Right? I enjoy teaching. I enjoy connecting with people, and that's great. And I don't mind teaching online either. But one of the problems I have with people listening to stuff online is I know for a fact they're multitasking. I know there's 10 things going on, and they're, you know, they have whatever else, and it's just maybe playing in the background, or they're maybe paying attention, maybe something's happening. And if I feel bad because I'm like, if you're investing the time, then why lose it? And one of my friends in Medina, subhanAllah, one of the pieces of advice that he gave to me, so even being in Medina, sometimes if you're tired or whatever, you don't make it a class, right? Or sometimes you go to class, just like all the other universities and colleges, you go and you're tired. And a friend of mine, who's actually one of my mentors now, he was senior to me, he said to me, listen, if you're tired and you're going to go to class and you're not going to pay attention and you're just going to be, he said, it is better that you get your rest, you get your energy, so that when you do go to class, you take full advantage of that time. Because why would you sit in class, let that time go and not get anything out of it? So the point here, my brothers and sisters, is that we need to change the way we spend time online. And look, like I said in the beginning, I'm not here to tell you to not spend time online. What I'm asking you to do, and I'm asking for myself, is do an evaluation of yourself. Do some muhasabah. And ask yourself, what do I do online and how much time do I spend doing what? And yes, I need to be entertained as well. So make time, schedule that time in for entertainment. That way, we can get a control over our lives. We know we can plan for what is coming ahead. We can plan for the time that is spent online. There is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made our prayer as a schedule. The Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, there's a reason that we couldn't. If it's just praying, you know, five prayers, why not just pray five prayers in the beginning of the day? Why not just pray them at the end of the day? Like, why does, someone asked me this question once, why does God care when you pray your prayers? You're praying, right? Like, why does it matter? You pray in the morning or you pray in the evening? Like, why is there a set schedule? And there's obviously many wisdoms to this, wisdoms that we may not even know. But one of the wisdoms of this is that our life is supposed to be set in this schedule where we can schedule our lives, and that we have distinct times in our lives, in our days, where we dedicate ourselves to worship Allah, because the human soul needs spirituality. Whether we acknowledge that or not is another issue. The human soul, in order for us to feel fulfilled and content and actually happy, we need time for spirituality. We are spiritual beings. And so the five daily prayers, what are they? They are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, knowing us and telling us that this is the bare minimum that you need to fulfill your spiritual needs. And that's why we have the fara'id, the obligatory prayers. And then we have others. If you want to add to it, alhamdulillah. You can pray your sunnahs, you can pray your nawafil, and so on and so forth. The extra prayers adds to our spirituality. But the obligations of our deen is the bare minimum that we need in order to feel fulfilled. That is one of the reasons why it is set throughout the day. And I know some of you have felt this. When you miss a prayer, especially when you're in the habit of praying your 5 daily prayers on time, and we miss a prayer, I know you feel that something is missing. I know you feel that something is wrong. Even the Fajr prayer, which is very difficult to pray often because of our schedules, getting up early. If you've prayed Fajr for one day, just one day, and the next day we miss Fajr, you're gonna feel it. What is happening? What's happening here? What's going on? What's going on is that your nafs, your soul is crying out and saying, I needed that. You gave it to me yesterday. You allowed me to taste that sweetness of faith, regardless of the quality of it. You could have prayed Fajr in the morning and you were tired. You recited the shortest surahs. You got it done real quick. You prayed in 30 seconds and you went back to bed. But it still meant a lot to your soul. It meant a lot to your relationship with your Lord. You may not have recognized it, but your soul recognized it. And that is why the next day, when it was missed, something happened on the inside. Your soul cried out and said, I needed it. Likewise with the other prayers. This is why our salah is important. This is why our days are set by our prayers. And if you're having a hard time organizing your day, the one advice I give is organize your day by your salah. Because now you have automatically tied your day into your spirituality, into your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, well, you know what that looks like? I'll give an example. Something like, from dhuhr to asr, I'm not going to log on to social media. Or from asr to maghrib, I'm not going to log on to social media. Or from fajr to dhuhr, because, you know, you pray Fajr, especially if you stay awake after Fajr. It's a very spiritual time. We know that it is a Mubarak time. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Burika li ummati fi bukuriha," that my ummah has been blessed. Barakah has been placed in the early portion of the day. Trust me, I'm a night person. I'm not a morning person. And it's hard for me to do things in the morning. But I can tell you this, even being a night person myself, the times that I've pushed myself to work on my spirituality in the morning, it has been beautiful. It has been beautiful. That is a Mubarak time. Imagine starting your day with Salat al-Fajr, forcing yourself to stay up, and saying from this time to this time, I'm not going to log onto any social media sites. It's a different thing if I've got work to do or whatever it may be, but that is a time for me and my Lord. And the last thing I'll say is this, as you take an account, be very literal. This time is for my Lord. This time is for my family. This time is for my school. This time is for my work. And this time is for me to just chill. It's for me to be online and just look at memes and whatever it may be, or send memes to my friend. Like whatever y'all youths are doing today, right? Whatever's going on, make that a set time. هذا والله تعالى أعلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.